Subject of my talk is the distribution, blueberry galmage, and evaluation of emergence traps for monitoring. And blueberry galmage is a significant pest, a key pest in blueberries grown in the southeastern United States. And it's one of the issues we deal with in controlling it is an effective monitoring strategy, both to determine the timing of emergence and also the location of infestations within plantings. So today I'm going to a brief introduction to blueberry galmage, discuss its life cycle and significance as a pest, and also describe the studies I performed evaluating some emergence trap designs for the capture of the adults and also distribution in the field. In Florida, blueberry galmage adults begin to appear in January or February. They will emerge from pupation sites in the soil, move to the host plants, where they will begin to, where they'll mate and then lay eggs between the scales of flower buds and leaf buds as they begin to, as the scales begin to separate following dormancy. The larvae feed within the buds, going through their multiple instars. This is the damaging stage, and they will cause both death and premature abscission of the flower buds, which of course limits the amount of fruit that can be produced, and also damage the leaf buds, which will cause a distortion of the leaf, a blackening of the tips, and reduce their photosynthetic production capability, and also cause some other vegetative aberrations if they damage the growing tips. They will then leave the buds and pupate in the soil. This is variable depending, or highly variable compared to the other stages depending on conditions, but in the laboratory I found an average of 9 to 10 days under those controlled conditions. And as you can see here, most of the life cycle is either within the plant or in the soil, so it is it's not out in the open very much, and the adult, as typical of many species of Cicidomyidae, is very short-lived. So really our window of opportunity for monitoring is quite short. So my main objective, the first part was developing an effective method for monitoring the adults. We can find the larvae fairly easily because they infest the flower buds directly. We can a method has been worked out previously by Liebert and Szczesinski, where flower buds are collected and placed in petri dishes, held in placed in a growth chamber, and checked periodically for the larvae, because they will leave the buds over time. However, if larvae are present, that means damage is already being done. So we need something that is going to be effective earlier in the season. I did all these experiments in organic blueberry farm in Gainesville, Florida, 2006 and 2007. So these were all unsprayed plants and well infested with blueberry galmage. These are the three trap designs I used, and they're all built on the same base, which was a 3-liter plastic food container, which I placed on the soil. These are all within 30 centimeters of a blueberry plant. The glass jar trap has an inverted plastic funnel. The midges will fly up through that into the collection jar. Petri dish trap has a 16 centimeter diameter petri dish, the underside of which was sprayed with Tanglefoot, so the midges will fly up from beneath that and get caught on the sticky surface. The plastic lid trap is functions similar to the petri dish trap, but the underside is coated with an adhesive substance. In this case, it was just a vegetable oil spray. And that plastic lid trap was the base, primarily, I copied trap designs used for the orange wheat blossom midge that was effective in wheat plantings. So I used the traps were all arranged in a blueberry plot, again, in a randomized complete block design with four replicates. Each trap, again, was placed near the base of the blueberry plant. And within each replicate, they were spaced 15 meters apart. And then they checked them once a week, and the adults were just counted and sexed. And I analyzed all this data using one-way analysis of variance. Here are the results from 2006. We can see that the Petri dish trap caught significantly more adults than both the glass jar trap and the plastic lid trap. And if we look at the mean number of males and females within each trap type, I analyzed those using a paired t-test, and did not find significant difference for those trap types. In 2007, we see essentially the same results, where the Petri dish trap caught significantly higher number of adults than the other two trap types, and again, within each trap type, there was not a significant difference between the males and females. So we see a sex ratio that's not significantly different from a 1-to-1, which we do see in also some of the when rearing out larvae collected from the field. So with this effective monitoring tool, I set about to look at also distribution of the midges within a planting, because we also, for an effective control, need to know where they are present. And we had a question of whether or not they're distributed evenly in the field, or they are there are more edge effects. And this was also done at the same farm where I performed the emergence trap study. This is a outline of the plot that I used. This was selected because it was isolated several dozen meters from any other blueberries on the farm, so we could hopefully see edge effects. I used three rows. This had this was a small plot, had a total of 11 rows of plants. So I used the southern border row, northern border row, and then the center row. And I, every week, collected flower buds from five plants, placed those flower buds in Petri dishes to count the, and then counted the number of larvae that emerged over a two-week period, keeping them in a growth chamber. And also placed three of those Petri dish emergence traps, as indicated by these stars, in each row. So I was looking at both the emergence within the rows and the flower bud, or number of larvae in the flower buds. However, the emergence traps, I did not see any significant difference in the number of adults caught for any of the three rows. So I'm going to focus on what I found in the larval infestation. What I found was a strong north to south trend in terms of infestation, where there's significantly more larvae per bud in the southern row, and significantly fewer, fewest in the northern row. If I break this down week by week, you see that in the first 4 weeks, there was no significant difference between the infestation in the north and center row, where in the south row is significantly the highest. Then the next 3 weeks, the south and central rows had essentially, there was no significant difference in the infestation level there. It wasn't until we until the final week of sampling where, again, we saw that the southern row had significantly higher than the other two rows. What this seems to, what may indicate, is that we have a time lag in the infestation, if indeed there is a movement of midges from the south, that it isn't until we see at this point here where those midges are reaching that center row. We see that essentially it kind of catches up, where in the northern row it's it was too far away for the midges to reach that point and show a significant increase in what would be the egg laying and then subsequent larval infestation. So this begs the question of why we see the difference from north to south. And as I mentioned, there was this plot was selected because it was isolated. But if we looked at the landscape around it, this is a shot of the farm area here, and we see here's the plot, which is outlined in yellow, and to the in orange line here indicates a drainage ditch which is, as you can see, less than 7 meters from that southern row. To the north is over 60 meter open field, beyond which is just residential area. So we see could be a very important landscape characteristic. Here's a shot of that drainage ditch, and you can see on the right-hand side that's full of a lot of weeds. There's available water, and there may be potential hosts in which the midge will complete some generations when the blueberry buds are not available, which would be during probably the late fall period. So, in conclusion, found the petri dish trap was the most effective trap evaluated. This will be used in monitoring midges and also in future studies. As I mentioned, we still need to work out some of the host location or the alternative plant host location. Galmage infestation was greater in those rows closest to the mixed vegetation, and I hypothesize that they may be moving from maybe alternate hosts into the blueberries from these locations, but this is going to be the subject of some future work. We try to identify those plant hosts. I'd like to just acknowledge my graduate committee, Drs. Liebert, Lyrene, McSorley, Slansky, also lab mates Teresa, Julia, and Layton for assisting in collecting blueberry buds, and the Gainesville Blueberry Farm for the study site. Thank you. Yes, the question was about the surface area of the trap and whether or not that was effective. That may be a factor. I wasn't exactly evaluating or trying to determine what the specific characteristics were for these different traps. I had found descriptions of different types of traps for catching midges, which of course certain things have to be taken into consideration because they're so small. So I did find some descriptions of these different types of traps, and essentially it was just screening different kinds of traps. So the effectiveness may be due to surface area, and that's one thing I'm also going to address in future research as I try to, now that I've identified an effective trap design, is improving that trap ability to capture it. So different surface area would be a factor. It's also that jar trap is also taller, so they have a little further to go to actually get in the collection device. That's another consideration.
Fantastic. All right. Ends our session. Since I'm a moderator on that, say whatever I want. I approached this with great trepidation, but I was really pleasantly surprised that the talks were great. I learned something, which is always my yardstick for judging anything. So well done, guys. Thank you very much.